Hello, Kate.
Hello, Ellen.
We're so glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here, too.
Once a year, at least.
I think it's more like three times.
Oh, well.
Well, it's Farm and Flea. Oh, there's two. Farm and Flea and this. Is there a third?
Summer Market. I think we've
Summer Market. Yes, summer you're right, Ellen. Yeah. Three times a year.
Right, right, right.
It's a thing.
That makes you a regular. That makes you a friend of the show.
She is.
She's mostly a friend to the makers, the shakers and the makers here in...
That's why they call her Boss Moore.
...Columbia County and other places.
Yeah.
But...
So, Ellen, would you describe this event?
I'm going to wait and let Kate...
That probably makes more sense.
...describe it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be at the Opera House next...
That's the part I meant.
Next Sunday, the 28th of February. And
of February.
It is a CSA fair.
And Kate,
I was about to say affair, but it's not.
You know, that's maybe more appropriate. It is a CSA affair.
It is.
I like that.
Okay.
We'll rename it for 2017.
And you might start by explaining what a CSA is for those out there who may not know. At this point in time, if there is actually anybody that doesn't know what CSA is.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of people that don't know what CSAs are, and that's part of the reason why along with Letterboxd last year, started doing the fair. So CSA
being the Hudson River
Exchange, yeah. So, and Letterboxd approached us last year about partnering with them to produce the event, and then this year we've taken it on ourselves because they are so busy doing everything else.
Yeah.
So, CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture, and it's a little bit hard to describe, but I would say one of the easiest ways to do it is it's a combination between a partnership and a subscription to a farm. So you prepay at the beginning of the year or at the beginning of the season, somewhere between February, March, April. You pay the farm for a subscription that generally goes from late spring, beginning of summer into the fall. Some CSAs also are winter CSAs, and so then throughout the season, you get to pick up whatever happens to be growing at the time. And so that's like the basic concept, and it's really interesting up here because there's such a variety of them. I think, again, one of the reasons why we wanted to do the event is because there's a lot of different farms, and some of the farms at the farmers market do CSAs, others don't. How do you find the farms? There's a lot of old ideas that a CSA share just gets you a whole lot of rutabagas for way too many months, and you just can't eat them. And so now there's...
That wouldn't bother Ellen. She is a fan of the rutabaga. That rutabaga pie, though, I just couldn't stand, Ellen. Ugh, that was gross. Anyway, sorry.
Not true.
Now we are no longer limited to rutabagas. We have farms vary in terms of pickup and how often they are. So some are weekly, some are every other week. Some you get to go to the farm and actually pick your stuff up there.
That's what I did.
Others, they have drop-offs in Hudson. So once a week, everybody gathers and you can come pick up your box here. Content also varies. There's
some have meat.
Fruits and vegetables, some have meat, some are only meat. There's dairy, there's flowers. You can get a fresh bouquet of flowers every week that you subscribe to. So there's a lot of variety.
How many farms are going to be represented this year?
We're going to have about 14. 12 farms are actually going to be there, and then a couple will just have tables. So we've got about 14 farms, mostly from like Germantown up to Stuyvesant, Chatham, kind of a little bit north of here, but all service the Hudson community.
Are some of those new to the event?
Yeah, actually, some of them are brand new farms. This is their this is their first year.
Oh, that's
and
exciting.
Then others are really established and been going for decades.
I signed up with Letterboxd last summer.
Oh, nice.
It was a fantastic experience.
They're quite near where you
That's why
live,
I did it, because
right?
I'm lazy. And it was right down the street. So I just drove down the street on a Saturday morning. The hard part was making sure I got there in time. Saturday morning, but I could always get the wife to pick it up on the way into town. But it was convenient. That was part of their thing.
Yeah, know? Nice.
Do you
and
see?
They had meat. They had meat. Good meat. Oh man, the chicken. They raised chickens down on Letterboxd, and they had pigs. So they had pork.
Wow.
The best pork chops I've ever eaten.
Wow.
Really incredible.
Fresh from the farm.
Fresh from the farm.
And did you have an opportunity when you were picking up ever? Was there like an opportunity to visit the animals or walk around?
Yes. In fact, I got to name them so that I could know who I was eating.
Oh,
no, that's not true. Why not? If you can eat it, you should be able to talk to it and deal with that. You know?
Okay.
Something like that. I really want to see them slaughter it, but that's not happening. They don't do that on site. They have to take it to a, as you probably know, you have to take it to a certified.
Slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a movement to have
a mobile.
Yeah, a mobile slaughterhouse a while back. I don't know what happened to that. It might still be in the works.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it as something coming soon, and I haven't heard that it's arrived yet.
Haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Do you see any trend toward, I hear about some farms, in fact, we had someone on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Mr. Ronsani from
Mr. Ronsani,
Lineage Farm.
Set up a program to take vegetables. I don't know if they were surplus vegetables or
no,
not.
No, I think the point, Ellen, excuse me, I don't mean to correct you, but they weren't surplus. They were actually dedicated to the 50 families. The whole idea was not to just like randomly have leftovers, but to actually raise money so that 50 families could get a box every week.
Right.
And this was just last season.
Yeah, I think they did it for the first time.
Right. Yeah, I remember seeing signs about them collecting funds.
Yeah, and they basically, I think it came to about $500 per family to do it. I don't know how they identified families or, you know, what the...
Right,
the,
they had
but
some,
it's,
some method.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I remember hearing about it, and it was kind of in a time when we were busy, so I'm not sure all of the details of that. But I do know that one of... You know, in talking to Letterbox, especially, you know, we learned a lot about farms and CSAs and how, especially these young farmers are really trying to, you know, dive into the community and be an available resource. You know, I think a lot of people use the term like food justice to try and have like fresh vegetables and fresh fruits available to people who live in inner cities and can't necessarily afford it. And, one of the things my business partner Stella and I recently went last week to a Hudson Valley sort of, I'm going to blank on the name, but a farmers association, people offering CSA. It was the Hudson Valley CSA Coalition. And Letterbox has been really integral in organizing that. And what they're looking at is they're organizing with about, I think, 60 farms in the Hudson Valley trying to talk about how do we raise awareness and how do we work with all these barriers that people have to CSA, you know, which includes you do have to pay up front. Some places have installments, but either way, by the time the season starts, you've already paid for the entire season. So there's upfront costs. There's the overall cost period. Mm-hmm. And so they recently got a grant through Glenwood, which is a little bit south of here, that really helps food and farmers and organizing around here. To start looking into that. So they're looking in how can they collect food stamps? How can they have people float the money so that you can actually pay for a CSA incrementally throughout the year as opposed to having to do the upfront cost? So they're really looking into how to get over that barrier. And
so that it's not just for people who can afford it easily.
Yeah.
To make it more available to a wider audience. Ellen, I think, was also talking about, though, is the leftovers that turn up. And it's hard because, you know, if it's just one thing, how do you distribute that in some fashion?
Right.
I mean, it would be great if food pantries were able to deal with it better, but they don't often have the resources.
Don't have storage facilities. Yeah.
One of the things I know that's really successful is they bring the food to Solaris, and Solaris uses it in their weekly meals.
Oh, in their community dinners. Oh, that's wonderful.
Which is great. I mean, because, you know...
Well, I've heard of two other things, too. One is that farmers markets, rather than to pack up what they haven't sold, somehow want to make sure it gets to people who need it. And the other thing is something about opening up the fields. What is it? It's not called grazing.
Oh, gleaners.
Gleaners.
Yeah.
Where they go in and take what seems to be left. I guess, you know, tomatoes that weren't ripe enough to pick or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I actually ran into a farmer today and was kind of asking them, how do they plan for the season? Because it seems like you would need like a high order math or business degree to really plan out with so many variables, like weather, especially like our crazy weather up here. Like, how do you have the right stuff and not too much? And, you know,
well, I think some of the farms collaborate, too, because I know at Letterboxd, some of the things offered weekly were not from Letterbox.
Yeah.
Like they I didn't think they did a big grain. They didn't really do much with grains themselves, so they brought in grain products, things like that. But the bulk of it was eggs, chickens, lettuce, things I eat.
Yeah.
Carrots. You know, it's the standard kind of stuff. And then, you know, and flowers. We got flowers, which the first week I ate by mistake. But my wife loved it, and she was like, where's the flowers? I said, I just thought it was something to eat. Because people eat flowers now.
Some flowers, yeah.
Not sunflowers. Oh, some flowers.
Ones that taste good.
Ones that taste good.
So tell us, let's make sure that our audience knows about
when and
the
where.
Okay, so fun details not to forget about the CSA Fair are it is happening not this Sunday, but next Sunday,
the
February 28th at the Hudson Opera House.
327 Warren Street.
Yes, it's going to be from 11 to 3 this year. We will also be having a table of activities for kids sponsored by Kite's Nest, which will be beautiful and fun as it was last year. We're also going to do the winter farm stand. So most of the farms who are participating are going to bring some goods that they have to sell, root vegetables, sauerkraut, etc. I think we'll have some microgreens and some lettuce. And so it'll be a really nice assortment of what's available this time of year. And we will be doing, you should bring a checkbook if you're planning or thinking you might want to sign up for a CSA. Bring a checkbook to make your deposit. You can pay cash, credit card, check at the farm stand.
Credit cards, Ellen, everywhere now. You notice that at the Hudson River Exchange, everybody has these little things you can put on your phone and get credit cards.
Right.
It's amazing.
I know.
You know?
Mm.
Who needs cash anymore?
We're not. There isn't going to be any money at all in the world soon.
Except
no
under
money. We're
except
never
under
see
your mattress,
money.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
I know you. So there actually be food to buy there. Good, because I need lettuce. I always need lettuce. I love me some greens.
Yeah, so we will, at least at this point, the plan is that there will be some greens. I'm trying to think. Oh, I guess the other thing is just definitely come with questions. There's no pressure to purchase a CSA. Like, this is really an opportunity to get to see what's out there, meet the farmers, talk and see, you know, talk it out and see what your needs even are, what you would want to have, what's out there. But that being said, if you do sign up for a CSA that day, we are having a raffle as we did last year. And we have gift certificates from Fish and Game Restaurant, Gaskins in Germantown.
Wow.
As well as...
they back open, do you know?
Yes, they are back open.
About time.
It is so wonderful there.
Oh, you've been?
I have.
Lucky you. The night we went to go,
It
was closed. We got halfway there. My wife wanted to check something about whether it was reservations. She went online on her little gadget, and it said we're closed for like 6 months.
Oh.
It was actually a month. But
no, it's really excellent.
Is it? I look forward to it. How was the wine, Ellen?
It was very good.
I knew
very
it.
Good.
That's always key to Ellen's restaurant.
I believe Ellen and her white wine came up in conversation the last time I was here.
Here?
He doesn't let go.
It wasn't Ellen that brought it up. I don't think it was me either.
What's that noise here?
I've switched to red wine because Tom.
I'm listening.
Because of Tom.
Oh. Have you really?
Yes. And cool. Your obsession with white wine.
Just to.
That reminds me of during the St. Lawrence cement fight. There were these people that were for the plant and ones that were against it. And the ones that were for it would accuse the ones that were opposing it of being people who ate brie and white wine. They threw the brie in there also.
And did you feel offended by that?
The world is made up of two types of people.
Yes, that's right.
So we have, just to let everybody know, we have the gift certificates to Fish and Game and Gaskins and Food Studio. We also have gifts from Valley Variety up here on the park. Talbin Ardeen, Made in Ghent, which is a farm and farm store out in Ghent.
Cool.
And we did a little collaboration with Turtle Sea Treads, turtle tree seeds that's part of Camp Hill. And so we have a seed packet from them, a seed packet assortment from them, and a worker apron from Hudson River Exchange. So that'll be another gift that you can win.
Nice.
Actually, yes, we have one of those already, I think. I'm pretty sure we do. Pretty cool. It's pretty nice.
You guys have a big full apron. This is our like worker tool
belt. I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like, you wouldn't garden in the one that we gave you.
Oh, okay.
Where you can put your change.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you gave it to me?
Have your little tools. Yeah. So yeah, we have a lot of fun incentives for people to sign up.
Great. Last year it was such fun because you got to talk to the farmers. I think that's a big plus.
Yeah, and they're all like such really great, interesting people.
Cute.
Yeah.
They're cute.
And they're cute.
Yeah. They're That's mostly cute. Young.
Yeah.
So, you know, that makes them cute.
I wanted to ask Kate while she's here about the Farm and Flea.
Yes.
It's been
going now. This year was
this year's Farm and Flea at Basilica, which has been going for, I don't know, a number of years now.
Yeah, so the Thanksgiving market, we just had our third year. Second year that Hudson River Exchange has been involved with it. So it's going strong and growing incrementally. And then last night we announced that this spring over Mother's Day weekend, we are going to be doing a Farm and Flea spring market.
Oh.
Yeah. So
is that new?
It is new. This is the first year. We've been talking
about
it.
You're not worried about diminishing the impact of the once a year?
No, we're not. But we've been talking about it for probably about a year, and especially after the success of this past market, it really seemed like it was time. And the applications have been open for less than 24 hours, and we definitely have a couple dozen applications so far. It seems like we're not the only ones who are excited about it. So
that's great.
Wow. Yeah.
I didn't get to go this year. I drove by, and it was so insanely packed, and that's a good thing that I didn't go, because you didn't need me, because I don't buy any of that stuff anyway. But I used to go just to, you know, make a present, you know,
because I'm a man about town. Appreciate it.
But I bought a thing or two. But did that help sort of give you a funding for the exchange? I mean, did it enrich the coffers of
the number of people was. You know, it's a wonderful problem to have that so many people are interested in coming. I think it poses new challenges that we have not had in the past.
Does this help you finance more stuff to do? So
Farm and Flea is Basilica Farm and Flea. It is their event.
Oh, okay.
And it definitely, I mean, this is their nonprofit organization. They're an arts organization, which, as you guys know, in your funding week, it's challenging to be an arts organization. And so this.
That's what we are, Ellen.
The money that comes in.
Yes.
Cool,
Definitely helps support their year-long programming. Mm-hmm. So it's a boon for them. Yeah.
So are you guys just employed more or less as partners?
Yeah, so we're hired to produce the maker and collector portion of it. Mm-hmm. So we do outreach to the makers and collectors who participate. We do the layout. We communicate with the vendors. And all of this is in partnership with the Basilica. We don't work independently.
Do you think the spring event will have a different texture to it, so to speak? I mean, it'll be different types of...
Yeah, we're really... You know, I mean, Farm and Flea, Thanksgiving Farm and Flea is really about, you know, the sort of celebration of the culmination of the harvest. And... you know, yes, it's an event where people are shopping for their holiday gifts, but it really is like the sort of maximum bounty of Hudson is happening and we want to celebrate it. And so this is sort of on the other side. This is the opening of the season. And so we're looking, it's going to be a spring event. And so the vendors that we're looking for are people who are, you know, influenced by spring and working with the season at that time. You know, we'll have a lot of vintage collectors, but instead of, you know, wool, it'll be spring dresses. And so the whole feeling is going to be...
Spring dresses, Ellen. I love spring dresses.
I know. That's why we have them, Tom.
I know. I do, though.
And probably a lot of white wine, too. So Ellen might want to stay home.
I met my wife was wearing a spring... Well, actually, more like a summer dress when I first met her. Down in Florida. You know those summer dresses that just kind of white? You know, they're so beautiful.
they are garden dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll have some a lot of more like home and garden focus, seeds, plants.
Mm.
And then we're working on some activities, which we'll announce later, that will be really spring specific.
You can have any little lambs there?
I have been advocating pretty hard for some little lambs.
Goats.
If we had a little so petting cute. Zoo, I would not be upset.
Little chickens, little chicks,
piglets.
I had chicks when I was a kid. It was really bad.
My father raised chickens in the backyard. I mean, we were sort of out in the country. I saw lots of little chicks. And I remember when they would arrive at the post office. The post office was like three doors away from where we lived. And we'd get to go, and the whole post office would be chirping because these little chickies were there in cardboard boxes.
That's how they come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where they come from, cardboard boxes.
Where did you grow up?
Kirkwood, New York.
Where's Kirkwood, New York?
Near Binghamton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well,
yep.
The country.
Upstate.
A little town called Upstate New York.
An upstate gal.
But
in her beanie and raccoon coat. You admitted you had a raccoon coat before. You did.
I was listening.
I still have it. I still have
right.
it. I mean, there may be moths flying around it. I'm not sure about that, but I'll let you know.
Yeah.
You said in something I read that you were taking over the weekend that was the Ramp Festival.
Fest. Yeah.
Is the Ramp Fest happening this
so
year?
So Ramp Fest is, for all intents and purposes, no longer happening. It's been 5 years, and
how often can you eat ramps? I guess you eat them a lot, actually, but a ramp festival.
It's really one. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to think back to 5 years ago in Hudson and how different it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the founders started Ramp Fest, they really wanted to create
ramp
contribute to the ramp awareness and celebrate the spring.
Yeah.
And contribute to Hudson as like a foodie destination. And mm-hmm. it's hard to imagine Hudson not being a foodie destination at this point. But I think it felt like it had been successful and it sort of ran its course. And they were happy to end on a high note. And so this year, the Basilica is again going to collaborate with Swoon, which is the founder of Ramp Fest,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have a Mother's Day brunch. So there will be an opportunity to sit down for brunch, or there'll also be a just sort of walk-up window, and you can get to-go food as well. So Swoon will be involved. They'll be doing a brunch.
As part of the Farm and Flea.
Yeah, they will be providing the food at Farm and Flea, and it will be ramp-infused. So
great.
Yes.
Got to get those ramps, Ellen.
I know.
You need your
Well, I went
infusion.
To the Ramp Fest a couple of times, but I always ate too much at the Ramp Fest.
Well, yeah, it's hard to believe, but you can eat too much.
You can eat too many ramps at once.
Too many very small, delicious.
Did you have ramp ice cream?
I don't remember ramp ice cream, no. Did they have the ramp ice cream?
I think so. They had some kind of desserts made with ramps.
Yeah, and there was some ramp biscuit or something. Yeah. I do remember a sweet.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, anything else?
I think that might be it. I can say for the spring market, for the Basilica Farm and Flea spring market, applications are open.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be open until March 12th. So you can go to basilicafarmandflea.com.
How many vendors do you anticipate?
It's going to be a smaller market than the Thanksgiving Farm and Flea. It'll be in the main space with Swoon in that West Wing kind of bar area.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be more in the 50 to 60 vendors as opposed to the 100, 120 that we do in the fall.
You were even in the back gallery this year, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We had a vintage space in the back,
cool.
which was a lot of fun, and a little lounge. It was, mm-hmm. it was great. Yeah. So,
wow. How big a staff do you have for something like that?
So Hudson River Exchange is Stella and myself. And then when we're working with the Basilica in planning, we're working with Melissa and Sarah Van Buren, they're both amazing. And then sort of beyond that, for the actual production, Basilica has, they worked with Elise to do the decorations. And then there's probably about three or four people who are like boots on the ground,
volunteers,
building stuff last minute and getting lights up and being production
staff.
It's
a big job.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of amazing what a handful of people can get done.
And Hudson River Exchange now has its market on Warren Street, its pop-up markets, doesn't it?
Yeah, so we got a space last April where the Hudson Wellness Collective was, and we have a couple studios in there. We have a jeweler, Russell Jones, and a vintage collector, Steve's Clothing, which a lot of people who have been around here remember when Steve's Clothing was Steve. Mm. It's now his niece who's taken over. And we also have a new tenant who does some sculpture. And then during the warm months, so starting in May, we will again do the pop-ups where we work with about four or five different makers and collectors and create kind of like a cohesive retail experience. So there aren't individual vendors there. We kind of make it into one space for a few weeks and then we switch it up and start all over again. But it's really dependent on having foot traffic. So we'll open that back up once it's warm.
Great.
So is this all becoming easier with time, or is it you're just making it more complex for yourself?
In theory, every year we say it's going to get easier, but every year we wind up adding more programming. Mm-hmm. We've added like workshops last year. We added the pop-ups. We're going to continue with the workshops and pop-ups this year. So with the workshops, we did a back to school theme. And so we had different theme workshops for learning about social media, visual merchandising, things that help the
social
creative
media.
Entrepreneurs that we work with.
Ellen, we need to learn about social media.
Oh, yeah.
So we could raise more money for the station. We could get
That's
more publicity
right.
for this show that no one listens to.
I'm surprised that the phones aren't ringing right now.
Why don't
now.
You know how to tweet? That's what I want to know. I'm learning the Instagram.
This is dangerous.
I have no idea
this
what the
is
hell
dangerous
it is.
Territory.
We need a Facebook page for the show, you know? Announce what we're doing, who's going to be on.
Okay, well, I'll leave that up to you.
No. I was hoping to. Where's Jake that we need? Where's our intern?
That's
do you have interns?
Right.
Do you have interns?
No, we had an intern once, and we are our plan is to open up and get an intern again this year.
We were so lucky. This is an intern who didn't want to leave ever, and he's still.
Although we sent him to Key West this week.
Yeah,
on
right.
Vacation.
He's not here right now.
That's how well we treat him.
Well, if you guys ever get sick of him, you know where to send him.
Oh well, he's sort of graduated. He's now working as a sound person at Helsinki.
Oh.
Yeah,
nice.
He caught
and Ellen
the bug.
Ellen thinks he looks like a young Tom Cruise.
He's cute.
Anyway.
Interns can be a really good thing.
Yes.
One thing he wouldn't do is ever get me coffee, though. Remember that?
Yeah, he sort of... We sent him out once.
Yeah, and he got lost.
He couldn't figure out where to buy the coffee. So, you know, there are certain skills.
Yeah.
He can grow into that, though. That's what an internship is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He gets over here on the board and starts shutting off our mics. That's got a little carried away with his power. Although I can understand that. Anyway,
nice.
We're talking with Kate Moore from the Hudson River Exchange, and they are sponsoring another CSA fair. Next Sunday,
the 28th.
Begins at 11 a.m. at Ellen's favorite hangout, the Hudson Opera House. I mean, it's a good chance she'll be there hanging out.
I hope so.
It goes till 3 o'clock, and you can meet all these people who are offering CSAs this spring and summer.
You get to meet the farmer.
Did you have a CSA this summer?
I didn't.
That's because you, I know why.
Because
you like to go to the farmer's market and kibitz.
Right.
Kibitz with the ladies. Yeah, and find
the
out what's
shoppers,
what's the latest gossip. Who's got the best tomatoes, so to speak? Anyway. So, Kate, thanks for coming in. Let us know all about this. And,
yeah, thanks for having me.
I hope people show up because that's how we got our CSA. I gave my wife instructions. Just go to the one that's easiest to get the stuff.
Nice.
You know, because I didn't want to...
And it worked out well.
And
it worked out very well. I just didn't want to travel like 30 minutes just to pick up a box of lettuce, you know?
I'm just anxious about, you know, I hear people say so many times, I have so much stuff from my CSA, I can't use it.
I got to learn how to can stuff.
Yeah.
Or well, some people do workshops on canning. The other thing is you can always share a CSA.
Right.
Mm. And a lot of people do offer half one. So if you have any questions or any reasons why you don't want to do it, it's worth asking because it might be something that's completely doable. Yeah.
So that's another reason for going.
Oh, I had a rabbit from mine.
You had a rabbit?
Yeah, I didn't eat it right away, but when I made it, it was, excuse me, I'm a good
thing. It was a dressed rabbit, or undressed, so to speak.
No, right? I had to cut it up.
I know, but it didn't come with fur.
No. The ears were gone. The tail was gone. I wish they had thrown in the tail. But anyway, it was delicious. I made a rabbit fricassee.
Nice.
Much appreciated by those who ate it. Mm-hmm. It was delicious. I love rabbit. But anyway, that's how exciting my CSA was. Pork, chicken, rabbit.